जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय गोपी जनवाभा गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोधनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोधनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुनतीरावनचारी यमुनतीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
Hare Krishna. Good morning. Welcome to Worship Wednesday Bhagavatam class. This is so exciting, and I'm so excited to be here. And I know this is the first Worship Wednesday maybe ever for some of you, and the first time that it's happened in years, really. And so it's so wonderful and vibrant. I walked into the temple room, and I just got shocked all of a sudden. Like, there's 10 times the amount of people than a usual Wednesday. So because all of you are here, you make today so special and so much fun and so much joy to be part of. It's my first time meeting all of you as a group, so I want to know who's in which class. So if you're in Adurya Bhavan, please give me a big Haribo! Haribo! Wonderful! A pleasure to meet you. And if you're in Madhurya Bhavan, give me a Jai Radhe Shyam!
Jai Radhe Shyam!
And if you're in Krishna Sharanam, say Jai Krishna Balaram!
Jai Krishna Balaram!
Great! So everybody's here. before going into today's verse, I want to give a little, I guess what you can say as an orientation to Bhagavatam class, an introduction to Bhagavatam class. What is Bhagavatam class? Why do we devotees gather here every single day to meet for Bhagavatam class? What's the importance of it? And really, what is Bhagavatam? What is this giant book that you might have seen that's 12 volumes long, 12 cantos long, 18 volumes? What's it about? And I'm hoping by the end of the day, if you can take home at least one thing, is that Bhagavatam is actually very fun, interesting, and not intimidating. Because I've always felt, it's such a big book, how do you get into it? But when you do get into it, and especially as a group, with your friends, it makes it much more approachable and very, very fun. So, today, the topic of today's class is appreciating the greatness of Krishna. And in essence, that's actually what the Bhagavatam is all about. Today we'll talk in a very specific way how Krishna is the creator of the universe, the creator of the whole entire cosmos, how we can appreciate that quality of Krishna and understand him and begin to love him in that way. So, first things first, I know this is maybe a new environment for a lot of people. You're used to your classroom, but I want to say that today, especially on Wednesdays, this is your classroom as well. So feel as home as you feel in your own classroom. Feel free to feel home like that here. Feel free to ask questions, be yourself. This is a nice open space for all of us to get into this. And what are we doing here on Worship Wednesday? What are we doing here at the temple in the morning? So Srila Prabhupada created this very beautiful and powerful and super effective method called the morning program. And every part to supercharge and help your bhakti, every single thing that you need in order to grow in your spiritual life is available here in the morning program. So when you came, the curtains opened, and you got to see the form of the Lord directly. You got to see the deity form of Krishna. And Balaram and Radhe Shyam and Kornitai and Shringadev, they're there present before us. So we get to witness Krishna, and Krishna gets to see us, and it makes him so, so happy. We can see all of you. We can see all of his devotees here. And we get a chance to sing to him, a chance to pray to him, to glorify Srila Prabhupada, to offer Prabhupada flowers. And now in Bhagavatam class, we get a chance to hear about Krishna. So we get to see Krishna, we get to communicate to Krishna, we get to sing his glories, and then we get a chance to hear about him. Who is Krishna? Who is this personality who we talk about every single day and who I see in the temple, at least on Wednesdays? And so the Bhagavatam is in essence, to make the book very, very simple, it's a discussion. It's simply just a discussion. A 7-day long discussion. It's a discussion that went on for 7 days between student and teacher, between guru and disciple. And there are just questions and answers back and forth, all to do in the topic of who is God, what is his greatness, and how do I love him? How do I come closer to him? That's essentially what the whole book is about. So what is the point of Srimad Bhagavatam? So the point of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you also want to condense it and make it real simple, this whole book is really just about appreciating Krishna, learning to appreciate Krishna, and by appreciating Krishna, we then become to love Krishna. And so, for example, I may see all of you here, just like you may see Krishna in his deity form. And I may see you, and I may, just by seeing you, I may know a few things. Okay, you're in Madhura Bhavan class, your teacher is so-and-so, you're a student here, I may know maybe who your parents are, but I don't really know much about you as a person. What kind of things do you like? What sports do you like? What games do you like to play? What foods do you like to eat? Who are your friends? You know, what kind of emotions do you feel? And so the Bhagavatam gives us that opportunity. It allows us to, just like if I were to ask one of your friends or your teachers about who you are, oh, what do they like to do? What's their favorite food to eat? What's their favorite subject in school, I learned so much more about you. And that's our opportunity every single Wednesday when you come here to the temple and you hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, you hear, oh, this is Krishna, the person who I see on the altar. Now I know this is what he likes to do. This is how he takes care of his friends. This is how he takes care of his devotees. And this is how he interacts with others. And today it's going to be about this is his greatness, but also his sweetness. He has both these qualities, and that makes him so magnanimous and so wonderful. So, I want to get into the Bhagavatam verse for today, and not delay any longer. And before we read any verse of Srimad Bhagavatam or begin a discourse or class on Bhagavatam, there's a few invocation prayers which are said, and these prayers are to show respect to the Bhagavatam, to put us in the right frame of mind. So I'll start with that first. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we're reading from Canto number 2, chapter 6, text number 1. So we're just starting this new chapter. Titled Purusha Shukta Confirmed. Brahma Vacha. Vacham Vanir Mukham Shetram.
Vacham Vanir Mukham
Shetram. Chanda Sam Sapta Dattava. Chanda Sam Sapta Dattava. Havyakavyam Ritananam. Havyakavyam Ritananam. Jiva Sarva Rasasya Cha.
Jiva Sarva Rasasya Cha.
So today with the call and response, there is a specific order, which I feel it shows proper etiquette. It's actually quite sweet. So I'll first like to ask any of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are present in the room if they would like to chant the verse, followed by any of the other adults. Anybody? Any of the adults would like to chant the verse? To ask Mother Jai Shri Radhe if you can kind of get the order for the students. Do the word for word. Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma said. Vacham of the voice. Vane of fire. Mukham the mouth. Kshetram,
the generating center.
Chandasam,
of the Vedic hymns,
such as Gayatri.
Sapta,
seven.
Dattava,
skin and six other layers.
Havyakavya,
offerings for the demigods and the forefathers.
Amrita,
food for human beings.
Ananam,
of all sorts of foodstuffs.
Jiva,
the tongue.
Sarva,
all.
Rasasya,
of all delicacies.
Cha,
also. Translation. Lord Brahma said, the mouth of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of a lord, is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The opulences of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. It is said that his mouth is the generating center of all kinds of voices, and his controlling deity is the fire demigod, and his skin and other six layers of bodily construction are the representative generating centers of the seven kinds of Vedic hymns, like the Gayatri. Gayatri is the beginning of all Vedic mantras, and it is explained in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. Since the generating centers are the different parts of the universal form of the Lord, and since the form of the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, it is to be understood that the voice, the tongue, the skin, etc., suggests that the Lord in his transcendental form is not without them. The material voice, or the energy of taking in foodstuff, is generally generated originally from the Lord. Such actions are but perverted reflections of the original reservoirs. The transcendental situation is not without spiritual variegatedness. In the spiritual world, all the perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in their original spiritual identity. The only difference is that material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure because they are engaged in the unalloyed transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is a sublime enjoyer of everything, and the living entities there are all engaged in his transcendental loving service without any contamination of the modes of material nature. The activities in the spiritual world are without any of the inebrieties of the material world, but there is no question of impersonal voidness on the spiritual platform, as suggested by the impersonalist. Devotional service is defined in the Narada Pancharatra as follows. Sarvabhadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchyate. Originally, since all the senses are produced of the Lord's reservoir of senses, the sensual activities of the material world are to be purified by the process of devotional service, and thus the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present position of our material activities. And the purifying process begins from the stage of being liberated from the conception of different designations. Every living entity is engaged in some sort of service, either for the self, or for the family, or for the society, country, etc. But unfortunately, all such services are rendered due to material attachment. The attachments of the material affinity may be simply changed to the service of the Lord. And thus the treatment of being freed from material attachment begins automatically. The process of liberation is therefore easier through devotional service than by any other methods. For in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is said that one is subjected to various kinds of tribulations if one is impersonally attached. I'll just read the verse one more time. Lord Brahma said, the mouth of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Prasujaha Deshikarine Pancha Kalpa Dirubhyasya Kripa Sindhubi Vacha Patitanam Bhavanevya Vaishnavibhya. So you may have heard this verse and thought, what in the world is going on? And it seems a little bit out there and difficult to understand. So I want to step back just for a moment and give a little context to what's happening right now in the Bhagavatam. So what's being discussed is Lord Brahma, who is the, you can say, the engineer of the universe. He takes all the ingredients that are there, offered by Krishna, who provides all the ingredients to make the universe, and he engineers, he puts it all together. So he's speaking to Narad Muni, and he's telling him all about creation. How is this world? How is this universe? How are all the universes? How is the whole creation? How is it manifested? And it's a topic that's perplexed many. So it can feel far away from us. It can feel like, how do we understand creation? It doesn't make any sense. I can't see it. I can't relate to it in any way. So one key to understanding Shastra, to understanding the scriptures, is to try to find a way to make it relevant and relatable to us. Try to find a way to make what's in the Shastra, what's in the scriptures, in the Bhagavatam, what makes sense to us. So all of you have been to a festival, right? Raise your hand if you've been to a festival before. Maybe here at the temple, Janmashtami, we have Govardhan Puja coming up. Okay, so you've been to a festival. Have you ever thought about what goes into making a festival happen? Yeah? Okay, some hands are up. So let's talk about that for a second. What makes a festival happen? I'll give an example, and maybe some of you can give examples too. So on a festival here in New Amaterasu, one speciality we have is always a new outfit. Right? Maybe you've noticed a new outfit and a beautiful decoration on the altar. What else goes into making a festival happen? Any ideas? Go for it. Prasadam, yes, you need a great feast. What's a festival without prasadam? Yes. Organization. He's intelligent. He knows. You got to put it all together. Yes. Water. Can't have a festival without water. Look at me. 30 seconds without water. I'm parched. Yes. Friends. Thank you. This is the festival right now. All your friends are here. Yeah. Krishna. You guys know everything. You need a festival. You need Krishna. Okay, so I see a hand in the back. Sorry? Tents. Tents and tables. You need a setup, of course. Okay, I'll take one more. Yeah. Sorry? Cows. As she knows, Govardhan Puja is coming up. We need cows. Yes, we need cows for festivals. And we need the milk from the cows also. Okay, so we have all these aspects, all these, you could say, pieces, moving pieces that go into a festival, right? All these ingredients of a festival. To make a good festival happen, you guys already said everything. You need friends, you need organization, you need a setup, tables, and you need prasadam, you know, you need cows, you need water, all these things to make a festival happen. So have you ever thought about who plans that festival? Think about the last festival that you went to here in New Ramanareti. Maybe it was Radhashtami or Damashtami. If you were to come and just go in the line and get prasadam, and go home, did you experience the festival as it is? Yes or no? I hear some yeses, but no. Maybe you did. But not necessarily, because as you said, there's so many aspects that go into a festival. So take this concrete example. All of you here demonstrated you understand what goes into a festival. What goes into creating the universe? The same thing, but on a very, very large scale. On an enormous scale we just can't even comprehend. But if we can understand and appreciate even what goes into a festival, and appreciate the people behind that festival that make it happen, as one of you said, the organization, right? Then you can appreciate that, wow, they're so great, they can put this on for all of us. And actually, that's the exact same thing that Krishna is doing. He's creating this material world really for all of us, is to facilitate all of our desires. And his hope is that our desires is that we want to go back to him. That's his hope, that this whole material creation, he's creating this, you could say, a festival for us that we realize is actually to come back to him, because that's where the eternal, real fun festival is. So that's Krishna's greatness. And this is what I was saying in the beginning, the theme of today's class, appreciating the greatness of Krishna. And so we can appreciate the greatness of Krishna as the creator. And that's what's being said in the verse. Everything comes from him. All the ingredients to create come from Krishna. From his mouth, from his tongue, from his skin, directly from his body, the ingredients to create come from Krishna. And so this helps us understand and appreciate him so much more. Krishna is so great. He can create this whole entire universe, and he's doing so for us, actually, for us to come to him. And, you know, if that's, I said also earlier, the Bhagavatam is meant to increase our love for Krishna, eventually, to increase our appreciation, awareness of him, and then in that way we develop love for him. So you might say to me, okay, well, you know, creation, not so interesting. Yeah, cool. You know, I can create some stuff too. I know people who can create a lot of stuff who are great planners. Doesn't really increase my affection for them. I need more. What's so great just about someone who can create? What makes them the supreme because of that? How can I really get to know Krishna even deeper? You know, creation doesn't excite me. And you said, you know, Ram Govinda, you just said in the Bhagavatam that eventually you have to increase our love for Krishna. And so I hear this. That's a really valid point. And in fact, it's a question that... Have a nice day at school. See you guys. It's a question that many sages have asked in the past. And would you like to hear a story? Yes, like to hear a story? So I'll tell this very interesting and also entertaining story that really describes this point. Long, long ago, there were a group of sages, so a group of spiritual practitioners who are just dedicating their life to simple living and just trying to understand who God is. So they got together and they're asking this question. Okay, so Krishna is the creator. Yeah, okay, Vishnu is maintaining the universe. There's also Brahma, we mentioned earlier, is the engineer. He's putting it all together. Then there's Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is, you can say in nice terms, the disassembler. So when everything has to go back to Krishna and then get restarted, that's Shiva's job. They all have a role in the cosmos. They all have a role in creating the universe. So who's the greatest? And they're trying to think, what defines someone as the greatest? If they all have this ability to create and have some organization, like we were saying about the festival, they're all organizers. So who's the greatest? What distinguished someone as the greatest? And they realize that greatness is not just dependent on one's ability. Greatness is not just dependent on one's ability to do something, but what is greatness really dependent on? What makes somebody great? It's not just what they can do, but their character, their qualities, what's in their heart, how do they act? So they sent one person, his name was Bhrigu Muni. Could everyone say Bhrigu Muni? Bhrigu Muni. So Bhrigu Muni, he said, I'm going to go to these three people. Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, and I'm going to provoke them, I'm going to test them. I'm going to do something that I know will frustrate all of them, and I'm going to see how they act. Because in their minds, they're all equal organizers. They have that ability, they have that greatness. He can appreciate that greatness in all of them. So who is the greatest? Okay, so he goes to Brahma first. And actually Brahma was his father, a little detail there. So he goes to Brahma first. And the custom is that you offer your obeisances to your guru, to your teacher, to your father, and he didn't. Purposely, he didn't do this. And Brahma noticed it, and he got very angry. And he was about to curse him, and he realized this is not the intelligent thing. So, Bhrigu Muni left. Do you think Brahma passed the test? Yes or no?
No.
No. Okay, Brahma didn't pass the test. Okay, so Bhrigumuni says, I'm going to go to the next person. He goes to Lord Shiva. Yes, Lord Shiva. And it's Mount Kailash, in the mountain where Lord Shiva resides. So he goes there. As he's heading there, he's thinking, Lord Shiva possesses great responsibility. He's a great organizer of the universe also, great responsibility. So what really makes him greatest? He wants to appreciate who is the greatest. He's looking for that quality. He's looking for that quality of greatness. So he goes to Lord Shiva, and this time he takes it up a notch. And so Lord Shiva is actually his brother. Oh, Bhrigumuni, you're here! Goes to give him a big hug. Bhrigumuni steps back. He goes, whoa, wait a minute. My dear brother, and then he offends him. He verbally offends him, really rudely. You are always impure. Look at you. You have ashes all over your body. Don't touch me. Get away. Don't touch me. And can you imagine? This is Lord Shiva. And he said, huh? And he got furious immediately. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh. He's easily pleased, but he also has a quality that he can be provoked or tested or get angry as well. And so this is a great offense to Lord Shiva. So he went after him to attack him. How dare you say this? And his wife Parvati had to stop Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, it's okay. You know, she could understand this was a test. So, did Lord Shiva pass this test?
No.
You know everything. Okay, so then who does he go to next? Who is last? Lord Vishnu, right. So he goes to Lord Vishnu, and this time he puts it really in fifth gear. He says, I'm really gonna take this test to the next level. So Lord Vishnu is there in Vaikuntha in his home, lying so peacefully on a bed of flowers. And there's Lakshmi Devi, his wife, massaging his feet. The most peaceful of circumstances you can ever imagine. Barges through the door. And he sees Lord Vishnu. And the first thing he does is he takes his foot. He kicks Lord Vishnu right in the chest. He kicks Lord Vishnu right in the chest, so hard. Can you imagine doing this to anybody? And you can't even imagine someone did this to Lord Vishnu in front of Lakshmi Devi while he's sleeping in his own home. This is Bhrigumuni took the test to the next level. And do you want to know how Vishnu reacted? And this is the most interesting, heart-wrenching, softest response you'll ever, you'd just be so in love with Krishna after you hear this, that this is the way that our Lord responds to even someone who comes at him with a kick to the chest. Lord Vishnu, he immediately got up and he offered his obeisances. He bowed down to Bhrigumuni and he said, it's my greatest fortune that you're sitting here next to me. Just imagine that. 5 seconds earlier, Bhrigumuni kicked him in the chest. He gets up and offers his obeisances. This is the greatness of Krishna. It's not just his ability to create. Yes, of course, that's so great. But what really gets the devotees, what really makes our hearts open up for Krishna and just think, wow, this is my Krishna, is this endearing quality of his compassion, his kindness, his love for his devotees. I'll continue a little bit of the story and then we'll wrap up for questions. He said, please sit on my cushion that I'm lying down. Sit here. I'm so sorry I didn't receive you properly as a guest. You're a Brahmana. This is my greatest offense. This is my greatest offense. You're so great. Please purify my home just by your existence. And then he did something that's forever. This is what Vishnu is really, and Krishna is known by in this story. He took the foot of Bhrigumuni that kicked Vishnu and he said, your foot is soft like a lotus flower. My heart, my chest is hard like a thunderbolt. Your foot must be in so much pain. Let me massage it. He grabs his foot and starts massaging his foot. What do you think Bhrigumuni did? He cried. What else could you do? There's so much love and compassion coming from Vishnu. And he said, everything just exploded in his mind. This is it. This is the answer I've been looking for. He is the supreme. But why? Not because he can create. Yes, that's also so great. But for a devotee, it's because he's so great because he's so loving. He's so compassionate. He's so, so loving and compassionate that even though I kicked him, he's massaging my feet. So this is the greatness of the Supreme Lord. And this is the topic of today's class, appreciating the greatness of Krishna. If you want to appreciate the greatness of Krishna, we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll recap a little bit, and I know some of you have to take notes, so this may be, hint hint, a good time to take a few notes. I'm going to recap just a little bit of what I spoke about today. We gave an introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavatam class, right? This is a great opportunity to hear about Krishna. And the whole book is about appreciating Krishna and loving Krishna. That's the whole point of the book. And so today, we're talking in the section of creation. So we talked about how Krishna is the creator of the whole universe, and this makes him so great. And by appreciating this greatness of him, just like if we appreciate someone who organizes a festival or a party that we like, or and a big event that we have so much fun at, we can appreciate all the work that goes into it. And the same way we can appreciate Krishna and his creation and begin to love him more by this quality. But what makes Krishna extra special, and this is talked about in the story I just told, is that even though he's being provoked, he's being tested by Bhriga Muni, he's being kicked in the chest, he never loses that loving quality. He's always there to look after his devotees. He's always there to show compassion and love. So one little takeaway, I always like to give a little takeaway in the class, because it's important to read, but it's also important and to hear. It's also important to apply what we hear, even just a little bit, even just for a couple of minutes. So one thing I want you to think about today, maybe you can do it in your classroom or just throughout the day, but how can you appreciate Krishna's creation in your day-to-day life? How can you go about your day-to-day life, whatever you see, whatever you enjoy in your day, what about your day can you appreciate and say, ah, this is Krishna's creation? For example, I don't know if anyone's been catching any of these awesome sunsets lately, but they're really nice. And every time I see it, I just go, wow, that is master, you know, first class painting only done by Krishna himself. So think about something today that you appreciate about Krishna's creation. And I'll end just with this, our little motto for today. Today's class is about appreciating the greatness of Krishna. So appreciating the greatness of Krishna. All together, appreciating the greatness of Krishna. Jai. Shri Bhagavatam ki jai. So feel free to, I don't know how much time you have, but if there's any room for questions, any room for discussion, I mean, I'm happy to hear any reflections you have, what stood out to you, any comments. So feel free to speak up. Anything at all?
Maybe you can ask them how they could appreciate the creation, Krishna's creation. What's something they appreciate?
Okay, yeah, let's stick with that point. Let's do it here, because I know you won't do it when you go back to your classroom. So, okay, let's see. Let's get a show of hands. Someone tell me something that you appreciate about Krishna's creation. Just raise your hand. Okay, I saw your hand go up first. Blurt it out. Nature. What do you like about nature?
How green and natural.
Beautiful. How green and natural nature is. I see a hand in the back. Go for it. Yes, thank you. Appreciate the sky. She said all the different clouds and the colors in the sky and all the armor. Yes, go ahead.
Friends and people.
Friends and people. Krishna created all your friends. You're right. Yeah.
I like the weather and I like the stars.
The weather and the stars. Wonderful. That's a beautiful one. I'll take three more. I see a hand over there.
Ice.
Yes, ice, especially on a hot summer day. Trees to climb and trees to use paper and draw. We have a monkey in the house. Okay, hand over here.
The art in the schools.
Wonderful. An artist. Okay, so many hands. Go for it. Fire, of course, we need fire. What do we do with a fire? Yeah.
The ocean.
The ocean, yeah. A lot of people here, how many of you want to go to the ocean right now? There we go, it's not happening. Go for it. Okay, I'm gonna pick three more, otherwise you can be here all day. You already won. You in the back.
The land,
thank you. Okay, here. Animals, which animals your favorite?
Tiger.
Tiger, very cool, love it. Okay, I'm gonna take one more. My first shot, I'm so excited to go for it.
The whole space.
A whole space, which space? The universe.
Like the galaxy.
The galaxy, yeah?
Explore,
yeah, it's so fascinating. The moon that helps the tide, another ocean lover. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Okay, and I see a hand over there. Go for it.
Rain.
Yes. The Shimba River, go ahead.
Our appreciation is for you.
Thank you.
For your preparation and for making our class so
thank you.
So really
thank
you.
Thank you. Then I'll appreciate if you. I appreciate Mother Nanda, who's supposed to do this last week, because of the hurricane, we didn't have it. I stole half her class. My wife gave me so many great tips, and Jaggi Kirtan was on the phone with me for an hour and a half, just like giving me so many wonderful points and things to speak about. So thank you to all my mentors and people who helped me do this. It's my greatest fortune to speak to you. Really, it excites me so much. I was awake at night, at midnight, saying this class to myself in my head for an hour at night, so I couldn't sleep. That's how excited I was, so thank you. Thank you very much. I think the class is able to go on longer if other devotees who are not Banna students have questions. If not, we can end here. That's also okay. So I'll just take a quick glance around the room. Okay, we'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.